So, you know, it's a nice place, and I like the people. You know, it was an urban school, and the place looked horrible at that time, but Carnegie Tech was an urban school. I said, oh, it's a school in the city. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
We were in DeBerg Hall when I first came here. Yeah, so I said, oh, this is a cool building. You know, I liked it.
Yeah.
So we had a good time.
Did you bring your emphasis on teaching into the department right away?
I did. And it was one of the things that we started at Carnegie was a program for undergraduates for those who didn't want to go to graduate school, which, you know, they were obviously the less well-to-do students, you know, not going to graduate school, what good are you? All you've got's an education. And so it was where they would go into the community and work in applied settings, not necessarily social services, could be business, could be just about anything. And published a good article in the National Journal about that program. And so here, that's what they were real interested in, is getting their students involved in community stuff and developing, you know, the undergraduate program as well as some graduate programs. So it was a good match.
So you did that work, an emphasis on teaching, through your position as the department chair of psychology?
Yeah, all right. And of course, we have graduate programs, so you had to know about them and pay attention to that. Help build those too. Yeah.
So how did this all begin to evolve into a center for teaching excellence? Was there one here on campus when you came?
No.
Okay.
Mike Stanton in education and I, Mike's retired now too, I'm pretty sure. I haven't seen him for years. We taught a course together called college teaching. It was from psych and from education. And I think that was the first course of that kind here. So that wasn't a teaching center, but it was a course on that. And we worked together, and psych students and ed students both took it. Some nursing, I think. I don't know who all we had in there. Anyway, it was a good, you know, we had a good time with that, only for a couple of years. And the course in education was taken over by someone whose name I was trying to remember yesterday and this morning. I can't think of his name, but if it's important, somebody in education can dig it out. An African-American faculty member over there, he may be retired now too. So there was that course, and then I dropped out of that to do some other things in our graduate program, and I don't know whether Mike continued it or not. So there was sort of a period in the 90s where not much was going on, and except individuals were interested in it. I didn't teach the course for a while. And
so Jim, just to give me a little time perspective, you came here in 74. How soon did this course that you're talking about get?
Pretty soon, Mike. They had a nice system, which I don't know if they still have, for welcoming new faculty. And I was interested in education, so and at that time, education was on the second floor of DeBerg, and psych was on the third and fourth floor.
There's
a balcony. You know that Marquette room?
Yeah.
Oh, we used to trash that place. They had education, had a wild man for the chair, Rich Kunkel. And they had Sesame Street characters painted on the wall, and you know, they had an open learning center out there.
My goodness.
It's the 60s, 70s, man. All that stuff was happening.
Yeah.
And so we had a good interaction, and so I wanted to meet some of the people in education. Mike was interested in higher ed, and Rich Kunkel was a radical. He used to wear pink corduroy pants around. He's a vice president now at some place like Auburn or somewhere. You know, I don't know. And he got suit and tie.
Scary how we all turned out to do things that are part of the institution.
So we got together. We had a common issue. Well, you know, at Carnegie Tech, Carnegie Mellon, I taught a graduate course on teaching of psychology. In fact, Judy Gibbons, who's on our faculty here, was one of my students
for
that course. And so he said, I do that. Let's do it together.
Sure.
And so that's how that happened.
So outside of this course, it doesn't sound like there was anything systematic going on.
J.J. O'Brien.
J.J. O'Brien was the
gentleman's O'Brien. Name. Okay. I mean, if there's a saint, then somebody ought to be, you know, if he was still alive, you'd be talking to him and not to me.
Uh-huh.
He was the saint of teaching. He had in Shannon Hall in this building, because we all had to move out of DeBerg over here to Shannon. Well, over in both places, they gave him a big room for an office, like an interior room.
Uh-huh.
And he had it jammed full of books. And it was so full of books that the office he had here, he had to sit out in the hallway. So when you come in the hallway of the main entrance to Shannon, J.J. was there. He'd sit there. And he'd hold court with students or anybody who walked by, and he smoked cigarettes. So, of course, you know,
sure, yeah.
People were smoking. So he'd be sit there smoking cigarettes. He had to walk past J.J. to get into upstairs to our part of the building. And he had all these books there. And, he was a fan of John Dewey. And so, you know, he'd give you these little mini lectures on John Dewey or other philosophers of education, very interested in philosophy of education. And so he taught, I don't know, philosophy of higher ed, or, you know, he was sort of the spirit that was always here. I mean, he had been here since the 30s or some damn time. I don't know how early when he started. Somebody can look that up. So he was always here, and so that spirit was always there, so that when we get to wherever you want to ask about the first teaching center, he was it. The little story about him, when they put in the ban on smoking in Shannon Hall, we had to have a smoking area. And somebody in the building had to be the representative that figured out where that area would be. And I thought, well, that's bullshit. I'm not going to do that. You want to pick an area, I don't do that. And so I said, okay, the area is going to be wherever J.J. O'Brien is, it'll be a radius of 1 cubit. Around J.J. and extending infinitely to heaven. And that was the smoking area. Wherever Jack was, he could smoke, and somebody within a cubit's range could
That's
smoke
a good,
too.
So it's a movable space.
Yeah, and they didn't go for that.
They didn't, yeah.
I wasn't chair for very long after that.
So we had J.J., who was an advocate of teaching, this early course. But it still doesn't sound like a center or a systematic approach.
Then you've got to go to Don Brennan. And Don, I don't know, you'd have to ask Don what the influence on him was. But he brought in these folks from Syracuse, where they had a very, you know, one of the best nationally known centers for developing graduate students as teachers. And Don, of course, was graduate dean, as he has been for forever. And he had this conference out at that retreat center along the river. I can't remember what the name of it was. It was really neat. I don't know if that was going when you were here. We used to go out there for retreats. Noreen Kurochi, you remember Noreen?
Sure, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. She and I short sheeted the bed of the dean of the law school out there at some retreat. I mean, we had good times out there. Anyway, he had this retreat. I remember it was on Valentine's Day, because all the spouses were pissed off that we were going off on Valentine's Day, and it was an overnight kind of thing. But anyway, these folks from Syracuse put on a workshop, and Don said, well, we've got to do something to improve how we prepare graduate students for teaching. And so out of that came the Center for Teaching Excellence, which was housed in the graduate school, which at that time was in where the art gallery is. What's that building on the north side of Lindell?
On Lindell, yeah.
Across from the library. Yeah. I can't remember. Its name keeps changing.
What year would this be, Jim, about?
We'd have to look that up. That'd be the mid-90s.
Okay, so.
And J.J. O'Brien then was the first, whatever his title was. Oh, he wanted a title, and they gave it to him, Professor of Pedagogy. Yeah, Professor of Pedagogy.
He sounds like he was interesting guy.
They had this corner area with this, what do you call it, that blocky glass, you know, that glass you can't see through.
Yeah.
Blocks, square blocks.
Glass blocks?
Yeah. And there was a door in there, and J.J. would sit in there, and by that time there was no smoking, so he couldn't smoke in there. And so he would be in there, and there were some files and some books and some video setup, you know, pretty primitive stuff compared to now. And they hired a couple of students. I think they were both from education. And Debbie Natoli was one of them. To be, I think she was. Yes, she was one of them. I don't know if they, she was one of the first ones, but anyway, and so their job was to put together ways to help graduate students develop their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I had nothing to do with it at that time, except I was interested and said, oh, this is a good thing. I, by that time, I had started to teach InSight, the teaching course, again. And I brought students over to that center and said, well, how are you going to be able to help us? And
mm-hmm.
you know, I had a meeting with mm-hmm. them and all that. But anyway, it's Don Brennan who can tell you whatever got him going on it. And then J.J. O'Brien was the person who really was... there was also Rosetta Taylor Moore. I don't know mm-hmm. if that's a name you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she at some point was involved in that. And again, I can't, she might have been the assistant dean or associate dean that Don put in charge of mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. part of the system that was.
Did you then become formally involved with the center? It sounds like you...
You know, I can't remember when that happened. You know, I was very interested in it wanted to... Let's see, I stopped being chair. I had two terms as chair, 74 to 79. And then 9 years off, and then 88 to about 97, I guess, in three-year terms. So it would have been probably the late 90s, maybe 97, 98, and sort of looking around for something to do. And so Don said, well, why don't you become part of the system there?
Mm-hmm.
I really can't remember all how that happened. At one point, he... appointed me associate dean for teaching. They had an associate dean.
Okay. So what were some things that the early on the Center for Teaching Excellence focused on? What sorts of things did you do?
Well, I think the certificate for graduate students and the seminars that they did, I mean, that took some effort to put that together
mm-hmm.
and get that going and get departments to take part. Your department communication was always right there with mm-hmm. you know, getting students into that. So that was the major effort, and then mm-hmm. having support systems to help those graduate students. And so after, I don't know when J.J. O'Brien retired, and his health went downhill. He got moved into the Altenheim. There's a nursing home down on South Broadway there, and he moved there and was no longer associated with that. And so, again, the time frame here.
Sure.
So I think Debbie Natoli was the first director after J.J. I don't think Rosetta Moore ever had that kind of position. And then as associate dean, I was supposed to be guiding the thing or working together with her. And then there were two other graduate assistants that worked for her
mm-hmm.
that were there.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing was the certificate program. And then at some point we moved to O'Brien House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had visited the University of Missouri and saw that they had a really good teaching center there. They had their own house, and so we said to Don, he said, well, they've got a house, don't you think we ought to have a house? You know, you want to be good at this, you ought to have a house. And we're able to get O'Brien House,
mm-hmm.
or it was, I can't remember what it was called at that time.
I think it was O'Brien House.
Well, it was, yeah, I don't know which came first, the name or the teaching center, or it might have been simultaneous. Let's put the teaching center there and let's call it O'Brien
right,
House.
I got you.
For him, we would get him. Somebody would pick him up and have him come over and
mm-hmm.
visit every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, the idea was, which primarily hers, Debbie's, was to try and make that a community, a sense of community, And that was sort of against the grain. I mean, it was a one where, you know, there was a kitchen there. Were you here?
Oh, sure. No, yeah.
Yeah, you were here long enough to remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it had that little dining room area.
Yeah, people could come in. We thought, well, if somebody, you know, there's always something, you know, juice or something in there, and you could come in and...
Sure.
The vision was that people would gather and talk about teaching. It's just the way you used to with J.J. O'Brien when he came into that building. You could just stop and talk. And we try to get departments to come in. Your department did. There might have been another one. The business school really was always pretty supportive. So to try to make it a community center for teaching.
Sure.
And you know, it was almost a spiritual kind of feeling that I think we tried to create.